Hey, you know, the scripture says that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun, okay? So that means there's a time and a season for you to be tough, and there's a time for you to be soft with your adult children when it comes to them demanding, asking, keep coming back, wanting you to bail them out. How do you know when and how to draw that line between the season of hardness and the season of softness? And I got some specific thoughts for you today from experience and watching families do this that I think will be helpful. But mostly I want to hear from you. How have you drawn that line, and what have you learned in the process when it comes to deciding when, how, or not to bail out your adult children?
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach and your advocate for the family. Adult children challenges. Did you really think they'd be over after 18 years? If you're in the midst of a challenge or you've made it through, dial us up. 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be an intentional parent, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And that's what we're going to do. That number is open right now at 888-888-1717. It's open because you've got the stories. You're the ones that are going through it. And there's some dear family down the road or across the country or around the world listening says, help. You know, how do I know how to do this? I think the question of should you help your kids is sort of obvious. Obviously, we want to help our adult children, but how do you know where to draw the line? When are you going to be soft on this topic? Let me get a little biblical perspective, make some points, and then open the line and let's talk. 888-888-1717. You know, the fact is, the Bible does say in Ecclesiastes 3:5 that there's a time to embrace and there's a time from refraining from embracing. And I think that's true with our adult children. There's a time to embrace their pain, their hurt, their problems, their challenges. And I think there's a time to refrain from doing that. And wisdom is determining where that line is. And I kind of refer to it as a hard side or a soft side. So we want to help our children grow up and become adults. We think about the passage in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked as a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put them behind me. So the goal has to be to help young people grow up and become adults. Now, I have seen parents, I've worked with parents, I've helped parents who have not been able to cut that cord of dependency, and I have seen those young adults grow up with a limp emotionally, like they have to have a crutch just to make it through life because they've never been able to break that that sense of independence, being on their own two feet, being responsible for themselves. And I think as parents, we're intentional living, right? I think there's two approaches we have seen at our center. One are those parents who have good intentions. In other words, someday I'm going to deal with this. My son or daughter keeps coming back, and someday I'm going to deal with it. And inaction that really creates that good intention is like a slow walk off a steep cliff for your kids. On the other hand, you got people who are very unintentional, busy with trying a lot of different things, which is sort of death by a thousand cuts. And in the process, your kids are not learning to grow up and become responsible. And in the process of all of this, we got, you know, here's where it gets complicated. I think we intuitively say you've got this 24-year-old daughter and she's irresponsible and she's, you know, it could be that she's using drugs or she's promiscuous and she's doing different things and you're trying to help and you're praying for her. But then all of a sudden there's a grandchild. And that really makes it complicated. Or there is that addiction and you know that they need some help. Or what do you do when maybe there's some laws that are being broken? And how do you step in and help or not help? And then the big one that we see is when mom and dad are not on the same page. The parents aren't on the same page of saying, how are we going to help our son or daughter through this process? All right. I have an outline or a formula that I think will be helpful for you. I want to get to here today as we talk about when should you be hard? You know, when do you have to kind of put your foot down and not embrace? And then when should you be embracing? When are you soft? And we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, you can join us, 888-888-1717. If you have a story to share of how you've dealt with this or a question for me, and I think we have Tondra that has a question for us right now. Tondra?
Hi, my husband and I, we have four children, two boys, ages 25 and 22. Our girls are 18 and soon to be 16. My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own, which I believe he does need to do that on his own, but as a mom, I want to give him that help. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that. So if you have any suggestions on a way my husband and I can kind of deal with that together, that would be wonderful.
Wait, listen, Todd, I heard you say, yeah, I agree with my husband. He needs to become more responsible, but I always listen when I hear someone say, but I'm a mom, okay? And what you're saying is he's the meanie, he's the dad, and he's right, but I can't get on the page with him that we have to hold our son accountable because I'm a mom and I'm going to feel guilty if we don't step in and help him. And you just said, Tondra, that he's not really very responsible, he's not following through, he's not following the Lord, he's not following the values that are important to you. And I think your call really raises that big issue. Where is the line between being hard and soft? Let me give you a couple things, Tondra, for you and for others who are calling in and joining us today. I think on the soft side, you know, the embracing side, when you have a son or daughter that's hurting, maybe they've made some decisions that were dumb, frankly, they're hurting, but they're in the process of working to get better. In other words, they are intentionally saying, I've blown it, I know this is not good for me, and I'm taking some steps to try to dig out of this hole that I've dug for myself. I think that's a time when a parent was wise to come along and help. You know, that's when we reach down our hand and say, hey, can I help you in the process? I think sometimes you have a son or daughter that has an unexpected problem that's really no fault of their own. They're working, they're doing life, they're trying to take care of things. Maybe they've been living right on the edge financially or relationally and have no fault of their own, all of a sudden, boom, they're flat on their face. That's a time for parents, in my view, that we need to be a little softer. We need to embrace. We need to help people get back on their feet. And our children certainly should be on that list. I think another time to be soft and when it's not a pattern of irresponsibility. In other words, it's not what your children typically do day in and day out. This is not a pattern where you see this irresponsibility building. And you know what? My guess is if it is an irresponsible pattern, you can see it back when they were a teenager. I mean, they were doing irresponsible types of things even back then. And so those are some times I think you need to be soft. We'll talk about the hard side in a moment. Let me get Ollie on the line in New Mexico. Hi, Ollie. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
Good. Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question?
I've got a son that's just turned 22, I'm sorry. But we've sent him to a rehab in the past. He's addicted. And
did he want to go or did you just force him to go?
It was more of me forcing him to go.
Yeah, as you know and you've learned, people don't change unless they want to change.
I have worked in the court system for 25 years.
Yeah, and you've seen that then, haven't you?
I can see them being ordered and it not working, but unfortunately, I didn't know what to do, and that's what I did.
You're a dad. That's what parents do. They try, right?
I finally sent him to a type of military school, and he did get through that and graduated, thank goodness. And then after he got out, he just went back to using drugs.
Yeah.
And at 21, I just finally just shut him off, and I didn't give him any more money or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And he's, like I say, just turned 22, but I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing, Ollie?
I'm doing all right. It's a bad situation because it's my son, and we don't have any type of relationship whatsoever.
But are you really doing all right? I understand the son, but I'm thinking about you. This must be very difficult for you. You must be hurting.
Yeah, it is. It hurts me very deeply.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Because you're a dad, and I think many of us as men, Ollie, I mean, most of us as men, we're fixers by nature. That's the way God's wired us. We see our kids, you know, the people we love and we've raised and we care for, and you know where this ends if he doesn't get help, and so you hurt. And as a dad, that's just a very natural thing. And so what do? We try to fix it. I mean, we step in, and maybe next time if I do this, or next time if I do this. And as you know, there's a point where until a person's willing to make a change, they're not going to change. I guess the question I'd ask, Ollie, does your son know, does he know that you really love him? You think he feels that?
I hope so. I hope so. I have tried to show him love, and when he was the best child in the world, and we went and did everything in the world, and we went to church, we did everything until he turned about 12, 13 years old.
Mm.
And then that's when the problems really started.
Yeah, so he's on the streets now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you have contact with him?
Yes, sir. I say I have contact with him. I see him, but he doesn't talk to me.
Yeah.
Well,
he probably upset because he thinks you should be helping him, you know,
yes,
supplying
sir.
What he thinks he needs that's going to make his life better, which you know it's not.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, Ollie, the help I can give is a biblical help, and I think of the prodigal, you know, the son that said, I'm packing up, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to do what I want to do. And the dad in that story knew where that was leading. And I think that's why he probably looked out the window every day. He's looking out the window, hoping, just praying that his son was still alive and praying that maybe he would come home. But that story, as we know, the ending of that was it wasn't until the son woke up in the pig pen of life and thought to himself, because he's a smart kid, just like you, Ollie, you probably raised a smart son. He's not stupid. I mean, he in his quiet moments, he's thinking, this ain't no way to live. But I think in all of our lives, there has to come a point where we wake up and we say, you know, I had it better at home than I do here. And at that moment, here's what's critical. At that moment, for every, not only you, Ollie, but for every parent, your kids need to know, your young adults need to know that you love them. That prodigal son must have known my dad loved me enough that I can go back up that path, embarrassed, humiliated, and a quote, failure, but I know that he's going to open the door and embrace me. And I think the greatest gift we can give to our children, when they're successful and when they're failing, when they're happy and when they're hurting, when you're being tough and when you're being soft, is that it's because of God's intentional love in my life that I love you so much, son. I love you so much, daughter, that frankly, we're going to have to let God do his work in your life. And I can't bail you out. Knowing where that line is tough, Ollie. That's tough. You know what? It sounds like you've done what you can. I like got him into treatment. You're praying for him. You're trying to reach him. I think the message for your son is, I love you and I care for you and I'm here, but I just can't and I won't contribute to this kind of path in your life.
Yes, sir.
Can I pray with you?
I would appreciate it.
I feel your pain, and I know there's a lot of parents listening who can identify. Father, I do pray for Ollie, and he's a man like many of us as men. We just suck it up and we do what we need to do and sometimes deny our own pain and hurt when we see kids and grandkids living in ways that we know where it's going to lead. And I think you must feel the same as you see your children, as we make decisions that you know ultimately where that will lead. So I pray for Ali. I pray for his son. I pray you'll intervene. I pray that he'll be a prodigal son story where he comes back and makes a decision that it's time to get his life clean until he gets those drugs out of his system. I pray that there'll be a moment of that awakening, an aha moment in his life. And be with Ali and give him strength in the process. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call, sir.
Thank you, Ali. I wish we could. I really do. I wish we had this magic wand. We could just solve problems. But you know what? We do when God intervenes, but we all have to decide to let him intervene, because God is not. Yesterday, Kevin Lehman was saying that the fact God isn't, you know, the kind of an authoritarian just going to grab you and say, well, I'm going to clean you up. We have to repent, come to a point of decision to say, I can't do this any longer on my own, and I choose to delight myself in the Lord, as it says, dependent upon him completely. Thank you, Ali. Others calling. We'll get to you in a moment. More on the hard and soft side of this thing of bailing our adult children out. What do you think? What are you learning? What's your question? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Signs are an amazing thing. You know, it's almost impossible to function without signs. Just imagine for a moment if in our culture, in our country, we removed all the signs. Take all the stop signs away. Take all of the one-way traffic signs, letting know what direction traffic is supposed to flow. Take away all the signs that give the streets that you're supposed to find things at. And just imagine being places and there's no signs for restrooms. You know, that'd be kind of difficult sometimes, wouldn't it? But just imagine if all the signs were to disappear.
That's quite a thought, isn't it?
We'd be pretty confused out there. Some countries, I think that's the way they operate, I understand. Pretty much signless. You kind of get around and risk your life. Signs help, but you know, God's signs are ultimate in our lives. There's some that I want to share with you. In fact, six on this month's lesson. You've received it. For those of you who are members, if you're not, I think you still get in, because we're right here at the end of this month, and you can slip in as you join us today in support of the mission and the ministry of Intentional Living. And the benefit to you is you're helping make sure the program continues, the message continues, and every month we're going to send you a brand new teaching to say thanks, along with an introductory couple of our best-selling books in a new member kit. Do it today. Call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 4, or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. You know, there's a time and a season for everything in life, and there's a time when you need to be tough, hard, with adult sons and daughters that maybe are, not maybe, they are. They're coming back, and they're asking to be bailed out again and again and again. And there's a time to be soft. And we're making the distinction there of what works and doesn't work. And we're taking your calls because you're learning in the process. Let me see here. Diane is in Kansas. Diane, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. My biggest hope is that somebody else will benefit from what we've been through. I can relate so much to the previous caller, but our dear son, from the time he was young, he was the most obedient child, and then in high school, it started up with pot and drinking, and it was hard. My husband's job, he was gone quite a bit, and sometimes I felt like the single parent, but our son really learned to divide us, you know, as far as rules, and then we realized in college they told him that he had ADD and put him on Adderall, and that just had other things spiraling out of control. And right now he's, long story short, He's been in rehab off and on for the last year and a half, and he's now 4 months clean, and he just turned 28. And I just, there are people when he was young that thought he would be a pastor someday, and I do feel sometimes like those who have the tenderest hearts and, you know, God has a calling on their life. There really is a spiritual battle for, but I just want to tell parents to, you know, not to give up, to if they could stand together and let that child know they're standing together, not let the child divide them. And I, this has brought my husband and I together probably more than ever as we've been on our knees and reading, you know, prayers for prodigals. And it's really taken us to our knees to pray for him daily and to give him to the Lord. It's so easy to want to take it back and to, you know, try to fix it ourselves. I drove him many times to rehab thinking I was fixing everything. And I just, I know God has to do it. And so I just want to encourage parents out there that if our son could turn around, and I truly believe he has, he's in Arizona now, and I got to go see him about 6 weeks ago. And to hear him say that he's on his knees praying morning and night, he went to Las Vegas at one point, and there I think he truly hit rock bottom. And he lived as a homeless person. And he said one time he finally crawled into this vacant building, and he didn't have the strength to leave. And somehow he got out, and a Christian we knew out there got help for him, and that was the beginning of this. But
well, you know, Diane, a couple of things. God must have something still in store for him. And God doesn't write people off. I mean, he's 28 years old. He's clean for 4 months. You don't know. If God's gotten a hold of his life, he could become a pastor someday. A pastor to people he can really connect with that some of the rest of us can't. God uses. I believe this, and I tell people, when we go through the junk of life, and some of you really been through it. It could be health. It could be addiction, marriage, whatever it is. Don't ever lose the opportunity to learn something. I think every hurt, every piece of suffering that we face in life allows us to grow closer to him if we choose to, instead of being bitter. It allows us to have a new level of tenderness for the people that we interact with every day. And God's not done with your son yet, and it's a good story. And that's the message. You hear Diane, here's the message. She's saying, listen, get on the same page and stay on the same page. And I would say to Diane and others, some of you who've overdone it, you now know, hey, I've overdone it with my kids. I think I would rather look back later in life and say I tried everything than to look back and say I bailed out too soon. You know what I'm saying? There's no perfect balance in this process. But God bless those of you that have been working hard on the soft side, doing what you can to help your adult son and daughter, and now realizing perhaps you're waking up to the fact, hey, time to draw the line and be a little hard. How do you know when you've crossed that line? I'll tell you what I believe coming up here in just a couple minutes.
We just weren't really on the same page, so there tend to be a lot of cold shoulders and disagreements and not being able to come together. My one big challenge was to speak life into my marriage by giving my husband a word of praise or a word of encouragement every day. After the challenge, we're doing better. We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first before ourselves, and that has really made a difference. I thought I was praying for him to understand me and better communication coming from him. God answered my prayer by giving me the understanding about him.
Well, you know, that's another story of how we can be intentional in our marriage and our family and really grow in our relationship with Christ and with our spouse. We believe, and we've seen, that when we choose, we, meaning a couple, choose to walk in the direction of following God and doing it together in agreement, great things happen. And at our upcoming Hope for Your Home conference, with Dr. Kevin Lehman and myself, we're going to unpack what it means to have intentional love in your family, in your marriage. And Kevin's going to talk about how in the world can you discipline your kids, get them to listen to you. How can you deal with issues like a teenager and when they're rebelling and making decisions? How do you handle that intentionally? And we've got one stop coming up this spring, We're going to be in Glendale, in Phoenix area, Glendale Nazarene Church, April 21st. And the Gold Circle tickets are gone, and the rest of the auditorium is being sold out very quickly. We're going to, I think we're probably going to sell it early, and I say that to encourage you, because I don't want you to say, oh, I waited too long and I couldn't get tickets. So check it out. And then also, just a word to Albuquerque, we needed to move the date, and we've notified everyone who had tickets for Albuquerque coming up on the 7th. We needed to move the date, and so we're going to be, and we'll talk more about that, but it's going to be in the fall coming up in November, and you should have gotten an email if you had tickets for that, and we hope that you'll switch them over and come and join us in November, Kevin and I. Anyway, the tickets are available for Phoenix right now, April 21st. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on the tickets there, information. Okay? Hey, listen, I talked about the hard, soft side, but the hard side, when do you know when to be tough? Three things that come to my mind. One is when you have a son or daughter who's hurting, and you know they're hurting, and they hurt, you hurt. That's being a parent. But they're just unwilling to change. They're unwilling to work on change. They're just saying, hey, this is who I am. This is where I'm going. In other words, your help to them is not just because they're hurting. In fact, if you help them just because they're hurting, they may end up hurting even more. And I know that's a tough decision for parents. I think a second thing when you have crossed that line is when you see with your son or daughter the repeated pattern of irresponsibility. They come for money and they keep coming back because they don't put a budget together. Or they come and they want help, and then they're not willing to do some things to change in their life to make their lives better. And I think a third thing is when helping is only a stopgap, and you know it. You're only getting them through another day, another week. Sometimes you do that for a while because you have to. But when you see these stopgaps go on and on and on, eventually, that's what I talk about being unintentional. It's sort of like a death by a thousand cuts. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the grandkids. What do you do when there's grandkids involved? Because that changes everything. It really does. And so I tell you what, we're going to stay here in the studio and record another program on this topic that will air down the road. So if you want to join in join this discussion, you can do so now. Give us a call at 888-888-1717. Tomorrow is Good Friday. And we're going to talk about Good Friday. Why is it called good when you think it's the death of Christ? We're going to talk about that, share scripture, and really focus on being intentional going into this Easter weekend. I want to say thanks for joining us today. Rob Regal is our executive senior producer guy. Thank you, Rob, and Stephen Davis and Sally Barton here and the rest of the team. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.